The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you,
Lord. Well, it is All Saints Sunday. I'll be honest, this is not a liturgical holiday with which I am especially familiar. In the theological tradition of my upbringing, All Saints Sunday isn't really a thing. You see, the church tradition in which I grew up was a kind of by-the-book sort of tradition, and there's nowhere in the book, the Bible, that says, "And now you shall celebrate All Saints Sunday." Of course, the same could be said for Reformation Sunday. When I was growing up, nobody ever asked me to wear red in remembrance of Luther and the Reformers. Turns out that Luther isn't in the New Testament either. And if it wasn't in the Bible, then my church didn't really talk about it much. A few years into my tenure as a Lutheran, I've come to appreciate these liturgical holidays and what they represent. Reformation Sunday is an opportunity to celebrate a key part of Lutheran heritage and history, and it helps us remember that the church is meant to always be in a state of reform. Likewise, All Saints Sunday is a time of remembrance. We say aloud the names of those who have died in the faith and remember God's promise to be with us in life and death. However, celebrating these two very different church festivals back-to-back might create a bit of whiplash for some of us. Might be a bit jarring to move into the somber remembrance of the loved ones we have lost right after the festive celebration of the renewing process of Reformation, and of course the sheer delight of welcoming all our new members. Are we supposed to be laughing and celebrating the Reformation and our new members, or weeping as we remember those we've lost? You'd be forgiven for feeling a bit emotionally confused. Our gospel for today, at least at first blush, doesn't seem to really help much. Our gospel reading comes from Luke. This passage contains a series of blessings, which we often refer to as the Beatitudes. And we find a version of Jesus' Beatitudes in the Gospel of Matthew, too. In the Gospel of Matthew, with the gravitas of a new Mosaic decree, has this speech set up on a mountain. Now, apparently, the Bible editors weren't feeling too edgy when they named this, because they named it the Sermon on the Mount. Not exactly the most creative name. Be like calling this the Sermon in the Pulpit. The Gospel of Luke, by contrast, puts this sermon on a plane. It is called, somewhat underwhelmingly, the Sermon on the Plane. But it's not just the setting that's different. The words change too, with some critical differences. While Matthew has, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," Luke has, blessed are you who are poor, while Matthew has, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Luke has, blessed are you who hunger now. And Matthew doesn't pronounce any blessings on those who weep. That's just in Luke. Interpreters over the centuries have noticed these differences. I'm not the first one. And typically, they suggest that while Matthew's version spiritualizes the Beatitudes, Jesus' words in Luke are much more focused on the present reality of his hearers. They are addressed to those who are suffering or struggling in the here and now. That's all well and good, but we're still left with the puzzle of how Jesus' pronouncements make any kind of sense. I mean, why are those who are impoverished, hungry, and bawling their eyes out said to be blessed? What are you talking about, Jesus? What's that supposed to mean? Another translation of the word blessed is happy. Happy are you who are poor. Happy are you who hunger now. Happy are you who weep now. Of course, that translation only heightens the puzzlement, right? Why exactly are the poor, hungry, crying people happy? In what world does that make sense? Now, if these Beatitudes make you scratch your head, as they do me mine, what follows them will make you downright uncomfortable. For Jesus doesn't stop with blessing. He goes on to woes, too. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are filled with food. Woe to you who laugh. Now, Jesus seems not only wistful and confusing, but he also seems like the ultimate downer. At least if you don't happen to be hungry, bawling, or destitute. If you're baffled at what's going on here, your bafflement is justified. I mean, we came to church to receive the gospel, the good news. And now it seems like those of us who are comfortable, well-fed, or happy have just been handed a heap of bad news. The tension we might feel between the celebration of Reformation Sunday and the grief of All Saints Sunday is mirrored by Jesus' seesawing between blessings and woes in our gospel lesson. One minute you hear blessing, the next moment you feel challenged, maybe even threatened. And that emotional effect, the tension between celebration and mourning, is probably more familiar to us than we would like it to be nowadays. This jarring contrast between the good and the bad in this world, the blessings and the woes, can leave us feeling discombobulated, out of sorts. The sense of being discombobulated is everywhere these days. Perhaps you feel it, I know I do, on a daily basis. I went running the other morning. As first sunlight pierced through the tree line and washed over the river, vapor rose from the frigid water as sunlight warmed it ever so slightly. I thought to myself, what beauty! What splendor! I was in a bit of ecstasy as I saw that. And I spied a regal blue heron perched on a rock, perhaps also appreciating the beauty of the morning, or perhaps thinking about what she would catch for breakfast. I don't know what herons think about. It was a moment of such peace and beauty that it took my breath away. And then, a little political news podcast fed through my earbud, telling me of political acrimony in Washington, dangerous fire conditions worsened by climate change, and whole islands that are being wiped off the map because of decreased sea ice and erosion. My elation was dashed by anxiety. My laughing turned to mourning. I had been well fed by the beauty of God's earth, and now I suddenly felt empty and hungry because of humanity's failure to follow that other key nugget from our gospel lesson today, the golden rule of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. We live in a time and in a world in which we desperately need the challenge of Jesus' woes and the comfort of Jesus' blessings. In his sermon on the plain, Jesus addressed followers of his who found themselves in different states of physical comfort and security. Some of them were poor, and some were not. Some were hungry, and some were not. To those who experienced hardship, Jesus said, "God is with you." And to those with resources, Jesus challenged them to align themselves with the poor. For it is the poor, those who struggle within the systems that we humans have set up in the world, who have been promised the abiding presence of God. When we are down and out, struggling with the realities of our lives, Jesus says, "God is with you." And when we find ourselves as those with resources, the Sermon on the Plain helps us to remember that if we seek Jesus, we will always find him with those in need, those who hunger, those who weep. And that reality compels us to find ourselves there too, with them, to help give voice to the divine answer to brokenness and pain. We live in a time that is marked by real tensions and contradictions. Some of those are liturgically induced. We move from the joy of Reformation Sunday right into the somber remembrance of All Saints Sunday. Other times, our feelings of discombobulation are the byproduct of our own broken systems of self-governance, our own failure to live in harmony in the world, or our neglect of those in need. And sometimes, our discombobulation comes from the challenges that Jesus speaks to us, calling us to join him in the kingdom of God. This kingdom isn't some far-off place in the distant future, something we get to after we die. In God's kingdom, as Jesus says in our gospel, we are to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, bless those who revile us, pray for those who persecute us, respond to insult with peace, and give generously to those who ask of us in the here and now. By following Jesus into that radical way of living, we find respite from the discombobulation. We find ourselves at rest in God's presence, confident that we are sharing in God's world-altering way of love. Praise be to the one who sustains us through God's mercies. Amen.